being agitated by the Virat Purusha,
being agitated by the Virat Purusha,
generated hunger and thirst.
Generated hunger and thirst.
And when he desired to drink and eat,
the mouth opened.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process by which all living beings in the womb of the mother develop their sense organs and sense perceptions appears to follow the same principles in the case of the Virat Purusha, the sum total of all living entities. Therefore, the supreme cause of all generation is not impersonal or without desire. The desires for all kinds of sense perception and sense organs exist in the Supreme, and thus they take place in the individual persons. Read that again. The desires for all kinds of sense perception and sense organs exist in the Supreme, and thus they take place in the individual persons. The desire is the nature of the Supreme Living Being, the Absolute Truth. Because he has the sum total of all mouths, the individual living entities have mouths. Similarly, with all other senses and sense organs. Here, the mouth is the symbolic representation of all sense organs, for the same principles apply to others also. Om agyana timiram dasya ganam dinya sarakaya taktum vitam dena tasmane siri gurave namaha. So, if I were to give one piece of a puzzle to everybody in this room without any idea what the picture looked like that the pieces of the puzzle made, then each piece really wouldn't make too much sense to each person that had that piece. They can look at it, and maybe there's some color on it and some design, but it actually fits in with other pieces in order to create an image. So similarly, these verses that we're studying now, practically speaking from 16 to 33, individually, they don't really fit together, they don't really exist by themselves, but when they're linked with the other verses, then what's being described is the manifestation of the Virat Purusha's different features as it evolves. You may remember we previously have been reading how the pradhan is an unmanifested feature of material nature after the dissolution of material nature. It's in an unmanifest state, kind of like a cake where all the ingredients still haven't even been formed. The wheat's still on the fields, the water's still in the reservoir, the sugar is still on the stalk in the garden, in the field. Nothing exists. There's no wheat, there's no flour, there's no sugar. There's nothing to bake the cake with. When the Lord glances over the pradhan, he infuses that pradhan with the living entities, which are spiritual. That combination agitates the pradhan and creates its inspiration to develop, much like a seed that has all the potency in it to become a plant, but if it's sitting on a shelf or in a jar or in a package, then the seed never grows, it just remains dormant. But when it's put into the ground, then that act, water, sunlight, agitates the potencies within the seed to grow. Same thing with a woman. Without a man, there's no generation of a child. She has her eggs. The female has the eggs in a mammal form. But unless they're impregnated by the man's sperm, then there's no generation. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada gave the same example, that the Virat Purusha grows in each universe, just like the babies within the wombs are growing. And what will be described in the next several verses is the mouth, the hands, the legs, the organs of sense perception, and all these things are growing. And the point being made in the background is that because the Lord has the desires, the living entities have the desires. They're the source. Now what I want to do is go back to text 16. Can you put on my slideshow? First slide. This purport by Srila Prabhupada explains perfectly how to link everything back to its source. No, the one after the next one. Yeah, this is text 16. As the followers of a king follow their lord, similarly, when the total energy is in motion, all other living entities move. And when the total energy stops endeavoring, all other living entities stop sensual activities. Purport. The individual living entities are completely dependent on the total energy of the Supreme Purusha. No one has independent existence, just as no electric lamp has independent effulgence. Each and every electrical instrument depends fully on the total powerhouse. The total powerhouse depends on the reservoir of water for generating electricity. Water depends on the clouds. The clouds depend on the sun. The sun depends on creation. And the creation depends on the movements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. So this section that we're studying, again, is Sukadev Goswami's explanation to Maharaj Parikit about his previous narration of Lord Brahma being instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the four essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam called the Chatur Shloki. Next slide, please. The Supreme Lord explained, if we kind of break those four verses up into two sections, it's a little easier to understand what the Lord was saying. In 33 and 34 of chapter 9, the Lord explained to Brahma that before this cosmic manifestation, only I existed. In other words, just like we were just saying, in that pradhan feature, there's nothing. There's no material energy. There's no earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, footballs, baseballs, theater, nothing. Nothing exists. When he glances over that and impregnates the material energy, gradually it becomes manifest. Next verse. Therefore, whatever appears to exist without relation to me is an illusion because it didn't exist. And therefore it all exists because of him. If you see something that doesn't exist, so now it's connected to what we're talking about. Our verse today was that because the Virat Purusha desired to taste or desired to smell or desired to, what was today's, because I was switched with Chaturatma, drink, Because he was hungry, therefore everybody else feels hunger. Because there's a source to that hunger. We think we're independent, but we're not independent. We're totally dependent. Again, just like the electric light, a perfect example, the electric light is not independent in any way, shape, or form. It may appear independent, but it's dependent on the wire, it's dependent on somebody switching it on, which is dependent on the electricity, which is dependent on how it got the electricity back to the sun, back to the source. So he explains like that. Then he explains in 35 and 36, this is kind of, it's not the exact words of the verses, they're paraphrased to make them a little easier for me to understand. As the elements of material nature enter into all things, but also exist outside them, similarly I exist within everything, and at the same time, I exist outside of everything. So just like earth, the element earth, it's in our bodies and it's outside of our bodies. It's inside everything. Water, air, ether, it's all inside each item that is manifested, but it's also outside. So in the same way, Krishna is saying, I exist in everything, in every atom, but I'm also in Goloka Vrindavan, or I'm also lying on my bed of Seshanaga at the bottom of the universe, or halfway in the ocean of the Garbhodaka, because that's who he's seeing, his father. So then the Lord's final instruction of the Chaturshloki is all human beings should search out this truth in all circumstances. That means that human life is actually, what's the purpose of it? The purpose of it is to make this connection, to understand what's going on in reality. Who's created this place? What is it for? And how do we use it? That's the expanded version of that verse. Next verse, please. Next slide. Thank you. So there's two introductory sutras in the Vedanta Sutra and in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now is the time to inquire about the absolute truth. Prabhupada explains, the human form of life is especially meant for this purpose, and therefore the Vedanta Sutra very concisely explains that as the human mission. So all the things that we find important in life, and there's a lot of them, this is the actual essence of what life is meant for. And how do we find that path? Janmadya asya yataha. First verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, first words of Srimad Bhagavatam after Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Janmadya asya yataha means the source of all emanations, all energies, the source, the origin of all that exists. Everything has an origin. Now, interestingly, when I was assigned this and got noticed that I was going to give class, we were listening to Chaitanya Charitamrita lectures at the time in our listening on a daily basis. So, next slide, please, Karnapur. This verse, Srila Prabhupada spoke so nicely about this essential topic in a verse where he was describing the glories of Advaitacharya in Mayapur. 1975. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of the Supreme Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his expansion Lord Nityananda, and Advaitacharya. So this verse, describing Advaitacharya, also explains about our existence in this material world. Mahavishnur jagat karta mayaya yat sajatyada tasyavatara evayam Advaitacharya isvaraha. Lord Advaitacharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. So now we'll go to the next slide, which is a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and note the Maya Yat Yat Sujat Yada. That's what he starts talking on. Click the space bar, Karnapur.
This is our position. We do not know.
No, the one before it. Yeah, we do not know. Yeah, please. Yeah.
They do not know that nature is working, as it is said. They do not know that nature is working, as it is said here, Maya Yam. Maya, the material nature means Maya. That is an energy or agent of Krishna to act something instrumental. Maya is instrumental. Maya is not all in all. Material nature is not all in all. That is foolish observation. Materialistic theory of creation, there was a chunk and there was, what is called? Blowing. Explosion, yes.
Big bang.
So they are seeing that explosion and the chunk, but they cannot explain how the chunk became exploded. Sometimes we see that some earth by the sunshine heating, it breaks all of a sudden. So this explosion of the chunk does not take place automatically. It is due to the sunshine drying it, and at a point it breaks. Similarly, the chunk is also, we can accept, the total material energy. That is, you can take it as chunk. But this material energy in the form of chunk is agitated by the glands of Mahavishnu. That is stated. Sa aikhata, sa asijata. Material energy itself cannot explode. The exploration theory is there, not theory, fact. But total material energy, mahatattva, when it is glanced over by Mahavishnu, then it becomes agitated and the modes of material nature begins to act. So that these activities are executed by Mahavishnu, by his glance, simply by his glance. Power, Krishna is all powerful, Vishnu is all powerful. So, simply by glancing, he can agitate the material energy and the creation begins.
So, first point is that matter isn't able to act on its own, it's instrumental. Instrumental doesn't mean it's the active principle. It's acting as an instrument. It means there's somebody who's doing something to using it as an instrument. Who thinks their body's alive? Nobody in this room, but everybody out there does. They actually think this is alive. It's not a living thing. There's a living entity inside it, and it appears to be alive. So similarly, the whole cosmic manifestation appears to be functioning so beautifully, automatically. People, even though they're so scientific, when we were studying this in our Srimad Bhagavatam class, I looked up for an image and I found this chart from Duke University Physics Department of the Big Bang. It's like, you know, they got all kinds of calculations with all numbers and everything, how it started off real small, and then it expanded. And they spend millions and billions of dollars, grants for all these physics teachers and different things like this, but they don't understand how the chunk, or what was there prior to the explosion, what exploded, what was the Big Bang, what was there prior to the Big Bang. and who put it there and what caused it to explode. There's no answer to these things. So the Vedic concept is that the Lord is the potent and everything else is his energy. And he controls all that energy. Next slide, please. Click the space bar.
But this is our position. We do not know who is the actual architect behind all these nice material creation. That is Mahavishnu and his incarnation is Advaita Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is directly Krishna, or Krishna's incarnation. Nityananda Prabhu is directly incarnation of Baladev. And similarly, Sri Advaita Prabhu is incarnation of Mahavishnu. So all of them are on the equal footing. Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita. They are on the same equal level. So Advaita Acharya is Isha. But there are many Isharas. Even in this material world, there are Isharas. Innumerable, but the Shastra has analyzed that the supreme Ishvara is Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. There is no more higher Ishvara than Krishna. Krishna also says, Matta Parataram Nanya. There is no more. This is the end. He go on finding out Isharas, that in material world, every one of us is Ishara. Ishara means controller. So anyone controls, he can be called Ishara. But there are Isharas over Ishara. You go on searching Ishara, over Ishara, over Ishara. When you come to the point, there is no more other Ishvara than he is God. There is. That is Krishna. You go on searching out. It's like our generally know Brahma is the, he is also Ishvara. He has created this universe. But he is not the supreme Ishvara. He is created by Garbhodak Sai Vishnu. He is also Ishvara, but he is expansion of Mahavishnu. Then he is also Ishvara. Then he is also expansion of Sankarsana. Then Sankarsana is expansion of Narayana. In this way, you go on searching out. When you come to the point, there is no more Ishvara. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi.
So this is the Vedic way of finding out the source. We started out explaining that everything has a source. All energy has a source. The light bulb has its source, that has its source, that has its source, that has its source. So the whole idea, again, atanto brahmic jignasa, trying to follow the path, trying to make that connection in everything that exists, is what the Vedic concept of human life and its and the living entity's relationship with the Lord, activities in that relationship, and the love that develops by following and acting in the relationship are the whole Vedic concept. And the whole idea is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ekala Isvara Krishna. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam, Eko Bahonam, Yovididati Kamam. Amongst all the Eternals, Nityo Nityanam, there's one who's the Supreme Eternal. Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas, Chaitananam, of everything that exists in consciousness, amongst all of them. Eko Bahanam, Yoga Dadati Kaman, that's one that's controlling, supporting, and maintaining everyone. As described here, even Lord Balaram is a servant of Krishna. Even Mahavishnu is a servant of Krishna, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, Shirodaksha Vishnu. All the different avatars. Who knows the verse that describes that Krishna is the source of all the avatars, except for Prana? What? Yes. Very nice. It's the whole crux of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and the Brahma Sampradaya. And finally, this last slide.
So he has no Adi. Onadi Radi. He is the beginning. So he has no Adi. Onadi Radi. He is the beginning of everything. But he has no beginning. How it is that? He has no, so many Isharas have beginning. And why? Sarat. That is it. Sarat. Completely independent. Janmadrasya Jataha. This is the Vedanta Sutra. And it is explained by the Vedanta Sutra Bhasha, Janmadasya Jata, Annayan Itadatascha, Arthesu, Obidya, Sarat. Sarat, that is Isha, that is Supreme Isha. He has no Isha. Everyone has got Ishara, over. But Krishna has no over Ishara. He is the ultimate, Supreme. Therefore, Shastra says, Ishara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigra. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. All of them are Bhagavan. But the original Bhagavan, real Bhagavan, is Krishna. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So, everyone is under Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Chaitamrita Kar says, Ekola Ishar Krishna Arsabhritta. Arsabhritta, silent. Even Ishara Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, they are also working as servant of Krishna. Advaita Acharya, just like he is Ishara. But he is serving as servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Ekula Ishna Krishna Chaitanya Paratattvam Paramiha. Above Krishna, above Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is no more Paratattva. Paramiha, it is Supreme.
So, when we come to the end of the search, who do we find? Krishna. And of all the different forms of Krishna, we're reading, I think, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're there now, that Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami that the Swayam Rupa, the original form of all the forms of Godhead, manifests as a cowherd boy playing in Vrindavan and associating and loving his associates. So, back to our original verse today, was the living force being agitated by the Virat Purusha generated hunger and thirst, and when he desired to drink and eat, the mouth opened. Before we go on to Shivananda Sen and Swarup Damodar, any questions or discussion thus far? Pran Govinda Prabhu?
about the light bulb with the powerhouse. Hmm. Okay, Krishna is the cause of all causes. But then, when it comes to my level, I'm responsible for my conditioning. So there has to be some further connection. It is not Krishna the cause of my conditioning or my suffering.
Yes.
It makes sense?
Yes. We're part and parcel. So he has independence, as we read. He has full independence, Swarup. We have minute independence, and that minute independence has manifested in a way that's not as his servant. That's why we're here.
Correct. I was thinking also in Bhagavatam 12th canto, 4th chapter and 7th chapter, I explain about the annihilation. Even the Krishna's whole setup of creation and annihilation does not depend on our relinquishing the material condition. It is each soul has to come his or her own way and decide, I want to get out, then take the bhakti, then possible. So it is not, I mean, Krishna is the cause, but still it has to be understood that way. Otherwise, we will blame Krishna.
Yes, very good point. That's why he's explaining in those chatur shlokis that everyone should search this out. In other words, you have the capacity, this is what it's meant for, rather than so many other things. Good point, thank you. Tripikram Prabhu?
You're mentioning about the Big Bang. The concept of the Big Bang is actually to find a chanceless or a chance cause where everything came about through chance. That's the scientist concept somewhat, because they're like hidden atheists in one century.
Yes.
You know. So if they could find that the world came about without a cause, that's good for them, really. You know, so that whole Big Bang concept is something like that, really.
Yes.
And that
they've educated the world with that concept, isn't it?
That Hadron Collider in Europe right now, they're trying to do that, really, where they're trying to smash protons and stuff and see if they could get something to show the world, well, look, this is how it happened.
If we take the string and pull it, like if you have a piece of cloth and you pull the string, the cloth comes apart. What they want to do is enjoy without a suffering as a result. People want, conditioned souls want to enjoy without suffering as a result. But they don't understand the whole weave and how the cloth is made and how it's supported. So they will act in any way thinking that there's no reaction in my future. I'm just going to die and go into the ground. There's no reaction. There's no God. There's no, they can't connect their karma with their suffering. They can't understand that, because there's no wisdom. There's no knowledge. They're ignorant. They're taught from childhood in school that there was a Big Bang, and that material nature developed in such a way that this planet is the only one with life on it, and that the highest form of life in the entire universe is the human beings. And the human beings are controlling, to an extent, what they can of material nature. We make pollution, and we're creating so many problems, and whatever it is, they think they can control. And they don't understand that if they act against the will of the Supreme Controller, that they're going to suffer a reaction for that action. They have no concept of that. They've never been taught it. So why should I follow some rules and regulations of religion, which are just man-made concepts?
Maybe fear of subordination.
Yes, they want to be independent. I mean, they're really going way off the reservation nowadays. Mathura?
Along those lines, it's proof we don't belong here because everyone's trying to escape this reality. Everyone's trying to engage in some sense gratification to escape the reality of this place. So
some sort of escape mechanism, right? Might be drugs, or it might be a virtual reality. They even make machines now where you can put on a mask and go into another dimension, right? Or go to a movie and get all caught up in that as an escape for what's going on.
Everything. I got to go on vacation. I got to get away. It's one thing after another. If we were actually belong here, we would be satisfied here. We'd think, oh, this is very nice.
Nice. Good point.
Yeah.
Now, we're reading about the Virat Purusha. After the Virat Purusha and the entire universe is manifested, then the time, as Srimad Bhagavatam will evolve from the second to the third canto, you may remember, there's a chapter called Calculation of Time by the Atom. And what happens is that there's so many different segments of time. Minutes, seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, like that. So, in the big picture, looking at a day of Brahma, which is trillions of years, 4,300,000,000,000 now years? Over 4 billion years. Once in a day of Brahma, Lord Krishna, Swayam Rupa, the original personality of Godhead, comes into this material world and manifests his pastimes. Just after he leaves, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates. Krishna has his associates in Goloka Vrindavan, all the cowherd boys and the gopis and the cowherd women and the cows and all that. And in order to experience the mood of his most wonderful devotee, Srimati Radharani, he creates a whole other, or there, not he creates, there is a whole other abode of Navadvip, which is in Goloka Vrindavan, and the Lord takes the mood and form and color of Srimati Radharani in a male form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all his associates, Lalita, Vishakha, all her friends, all the cowherd boys, they also take different forms to associate with the Lord in that other abode. So, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that in his youth, he spent 24 years in Navadvip and engaged in so many scholastic activities and began the Sankirtan movement. But then he took sannyas. And when he took sannyas, meant he was going to leave home. Then they all met at Vaitacharya's house in Shantipur for one last gathering. And at that place in that time, Mother Sachi, Lord Chaitanya's mother, asked him, you please stay in Jagannath Puri, because that way devotees from here go back and forth, and I'll be able to hear about your well-being and your activities. So, after traveling throughout South India and going on his different pilgrimages, Lord Chaitanya was set in Jagannath Puri. And all his devotees back in Navadvip naturally wanted to go visit him after he had traveled. He traveled around South India for 2.5 years, came back to Jagannath Puri, and was settled. So they all gathered together, and Shivananda Sen became like the head of the tour, right? Organizing all these different devotees. They all would go from Navadvip, they'd go to Advaitacharya's house, and all the devotees from Chantipur, and then everybody would start walking from Mayapur, which is north, and head south. And in those days, there was no trains, there was no automobiles, there was no airplanes, so they walked, and they went on pilgrimage during the month of, after Snan Yatra usually is when they would go, and they would come to arrive in Puri on Rath Yatra, which by the way is tomorrow. If you want to watch it live on YouTube, you can look up Rath Yatra 2023 Puri and find Dur Darshan and watch it. We just watched 11 hours of Snan Yatra a couple of weeks ago. You can just put it on and kind of leave it there, and they go on all day long doing their pujas. We watched it day after day rather than all at once. But anyway, so Shivananda Singh was organizing all these different devotees. And if you look at the geography of India, what happens is that the Ganges and the Jamuna come out of the Himalayas. Then they start going west along the Gangic plain, meet in Prayag at Triveni, and then become one river, flow past Mayapur, where the Ganges is. But by the time it starts coming to Bengal, if you look at Google Maps and look at it, it becomes like a tree branches. It doesn't just become one river that goes directly into the Bay of Bengal. It breaks out into hundreds and hundreds of streams as it comes down. So as the devotees were walking from Bengal down to Orissa, Bengal, of course, was ruled by the Muslims during that time. We know now Bhut Singh Shaha, Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were government ministers of the Muslim government, whereas in Orissa, which was Kalinga, was ruled by King Kachaparudra, so it was Hindus. But along the way, all those tributaries that were water, they had to get like boats to help them cross, and there were toll gates at each one of these places. So all the devotees are walking, they're coming down, they're going like this, and Shivananda Singh took it upon himself to take care of all the devotees, arrange all the meals, he knew everybody on the path. He knew different people in every town. So he would arrange for all the devotees to have a place to stay during it takes some time to walk that. It's like, was it 500 kilometers, 600 kilometers? So it takes weeks, a whole bunch of people together. And what happened was that one time, the party got ahead of Shivananda Singh. He had stayed back, and he was paying a toll. He was he was making deals and trying to pay off the toll. And all the devotees landed at this place where they were waiting for him. And they all were hungry. It was hot. It was waiting. And everybody started, and Shivananda Singh, he was late. He didn't come. Everybody started to get real agitated. And Nityananda Prabhu became very agitated. He said, "This Shivananda Singh is a nonsense leaving us like this. Everybody's hungry. His son should die for this." And the wife became all, she started crying and everything like that. So at that time, Shivananda Singh arrived. And he came up and he was so apologetic and he bowed down to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda kicked him. Sent him, my God. And what did he say? Shivananda Singh, rather than getting all angry at the Lord, he touched the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu and led him to his residence. After giving the Lord he fed everybody, led it to his quarters, Shivananda Singh, being very pleased, spoke as follows. "Today you have accepted me as your servant and have properly punished me for my offense. My dear Lord, your chastising me is your causeless mercy. Who within the three worlds can understand your real character? The dust from your lotus feet is not even attainable by Lord Brahma. Yet your lotus feet have touched my wretched body. Today my birth, my family, my activities have all become successful. Today I have achieved the fulfillment of all religious principles, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and ultimately, devotional service to Lord Krishna." When Lord Nityananda heard this, he was very happy. He rose and embraced Shivananda Singh in great love. So this is Shivananda Singh's most famous activity. I read a nice explanation the other day that the Lord not only came to give Nam Sankirtan, he came to give us, in this age of Kali Yuga, Prem Nam Sankirtan, the love of Goloka Vrindavan. Once in a day of Brahma, once every 4 billion years, this is available, it's on sale. Actually, it's not even a fun sale. It's free. You take it. All you have to do is endeavor. Chant. So this praying love of God in Goloka Vrindavan is extremely sweet, but extremely subtle. And in order to taste that love, the Lord himself manifested as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and came to this world and was manifesting pastimes. And his very dear Parama Prestasakhi, Lalita, in the form of Swarup Damodar Goswami, also manifested. During the Lord's pastimes in Navadvip, he didn't exhibit so much love of God. He was more like a scholar. But after he took sannyas and started to live in Puri, he started to manifest much more these ecstasies that Srimati Radharani felt in love for Krishna. So similarly, his associate in Navadvip, Purusottama Acharya, was just another schoolmate. There's not a whole lot about him in his youth. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he became like a madman and left Navadvip and went to Varanasi, which is a historical place of learning, and studied under Chaitanyananda Saraswati, a sannyasi, and took sannyas, but didn't accept the sannyas cloth. He just kept his sika and remained as a brahmachari. Therefore, his name was Swarup, rather than given a brahmachari name. Swarup is a brahmachari name, whereas others are sannyasi names. So when he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned from his travels in South India, he was in Varanasi. He wasn't with the devotees in Navadvip and traveled with Shivananda Sen and all the devotees. He was in Varanasi and traveled on his own and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when they met, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased. But the verse that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has placed for Swarup Damodar is meeting the Lord is this one. Hey Rondu Niteke Daya Visadaya Pumni Radamo Daya Samyach Chasta Vivadaya Rasadaya Chita Pitomadaya Sasvad Bhakti Vinodaya Samadaya Madhurya Maya Daya Sri Chaitanya Daya Nitita Vadaya Bhuya Ramando Daya. O Ocean of Mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let there be an awakening of your auspicious mercy, which easily drives away all kinds of material lamentation by making everything pure and blissful. Indeed, your mercy awakens transcendental bliss and covers all material pleasures. By your auspicious mercy, quarrels and disagreements arising amongst different scriptures are vanquished. Your auspicious mercy pours forth transcendental mellows and thus causes the heart to jubilate. Your mercy, which is full of joy, always stimulates devotional service and glorifies conjugal love of God. May transcendental bliss be awakened within my heart by your causeless mercy. And of course, Swarup Damodar in the Antya-lila is one of the main personalities, along with Ramananda Roy, who used to stay with Lord Chaitanya at the Gambhira, Lord Chaitanya's room. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered deeper and deeper and deeper into the prema of Srimati Radharani's ecstatic love, both Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar assisted him by chanting appropriate verses to the mood and singing beautiful songs. Swarup Damodar, he sung like a Gandharva. So you can just imagine, it's like Lalita and Srimati Radharani. She would sing beautiful songs to arouse her love for Krishna in the same way. Swarup Damodar would sing beautiful songs of Vidyapati and Chandidas and Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would just go into ecstasy in his association. So we're missing his association today. Hare Krishna. Any more questions, comments?
Now we sing every day.
In the beginning of Mangalacharan, we sing every day. That's composed by Swarup Damodar.
Oh, yes. Yes. All those four verses describing Lord Chaitanya. What happened was that Swarup Damodar actually kept a karacha. He kept a diary, but nobody ever saw it. Only one person had access to it. Who was that? Raghunath Das Goswami. Thank you. So Raghunath Das Goswami after he left Puri, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has disappeared, he went to Radhakund, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami came to Radhakund, and Raghunath Das daily would speak about these activities and teach the devotees what Swarup Damodar had taught him about this love of Godhead. So this is how we're actually getting that same message, just like Lord Brahma heard from Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar in that intimate association, Raghunath Das was there. And then he went to Radhakund, he explained it to Krishnadas Kaviraj. Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote it down. He's also the author of Govinda Lilamrita. How odd is that? Both Chaitanya Charitamrita and Govinda Lilamrita. And then, of course, Srila Prabhupada has translated it into English. So we're having that same information is at our fingertips. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sivananda Sen and Swarup Damodar ki jai. Don't forget Rathayatra tomorrow. And thank you, Kanapur. That was perfect.